السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. We all know that we are in the month of Muharram. The verse of the Quran Sharif which I recited, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala instructs and orders the believers to fear Allah as He should be feared, fulfilling the right of taqwa. And that we should not leave this world, we should not die except in a state of Islam. So every action of a Muslim has to be guided by the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The same goes with Muharram. Normally if there's sufficient time, then I discuss three aspects when it comes to the month of Muharram. When we enter the month of Muharram, first of all, of course, it is the entry into the new year. So we always discuss the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But of course, the time is too limited to go into any details. So that is one aspect. The second aspect that we normally discuss is the day of Ashura. And then the third aspect is the Shahadat of Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now these are the three things that we normally discuss. So very, very briefly, when it comes to the calendar itself, we have entered a new year. So we should look back and see what happened in the year that went by. How many governments disappeared from the surface of the earth. People who were in power, they are either in prisons or they are no more. They were assassinated, their kingdoms were overtaken, they were toppled, and so many new kingdoms came up, so many new governments came into existence. So many new rulers took over the reins of power. If we look at our friends, our family members and the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and humanity at large, then in earthquakes, in gale force winds, in the destruction that was caused by typhoons and in the destruction that was caused by tremors and the destruction that was caused by wars, hundreds of thousands of people disappeared from the surface of the earth. They will rise no more until the day of Qiyamah. Within seconds, some of them disappeared. Whole towns vanished. So in this way, if we look at all the different things that happen, if we have to go into detail, we'll just be discussing that. How many people who are fit and healthy, they were young, they were strong, they had everything going for them. But suddenly some accident, or some shooting, or some other kind of disaster in their lives, and they are lying in hospital beds, attached to the tubes. So many people underwent bypasses, so many people underwent other kinds of operations. So many things happen in the year. Now all these are the things that we must take lessons from. That is a sign that this world will come to an end. Al-alamu mutaghayyirun wa kullu mutaghayyirin hadisun fal-alamu hadisun. That is one of the signs that when changes keep taking place in something, that it is finally going to end. So this world too is going to come to an end. So when we have entered the new year, then we always say that the new year, when you enter, then you must make resolutions. So our resolution must be that we want to be obedient to our Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this new year. And that we will take lessons from what we have seen and what we have read of and what we have heard of. So many things have happened which is sufficient for a person to take lessons. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, during his time, they used to say so many years from the year of the elephant. In Suratul Fil, the incident is there in detail. Nevertheless, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was a need now for calendar. So without going into any details, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made mashwara, consultation with the Sahaba Ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een of his time. And he mentioned different things. Different things were mentioned in front of him, that we should begin the calendar from the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should begin the calendar from the Battle of Badr. We should begin the calendar from this incident or that incident. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not accept all those suggestions. And the suggestion that he accepted was that it should begin with the Hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because Hijrah will take place from now until the day of Qiyamah. All the prophets of the past, there was so much of Hijrat in their lives. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had to make Hijrat. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made Hijrat. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made Hijrat. Rasul-e-Pak also had to make Hijrat. When the persecution and the torture of the kuffar, of the mushrikeen, became unbearable for the Muslims, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told them that now you leave Makkah Mukarramah. And first he told them to make Hijrah to Abyssinia. And after that was this Hijrah to Madina Tayyibah. We cannot go into any details. But this Hijrah was something that was going to continue till the day of Qiyamah, that a Muslim had to be prepared to forsake his town, his city, his people for the sake of the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There will be trials, there will be persecution, there will be different kinds of tortures. Now how many of them throughout history have faced these kind of conditions in their lives? That they have to leave their countries and go away to some other country. They have to leave their cities, they have to leave their towns, they have to leave their homes, they have to leave their families behind. Why? Because they were going to be arrested and put into prison, and they had to face endless torture if they did not leave and if they did not go into hiding. So Hijrah is something that will continue. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know that when he made this Hijrah, it was not that he himself could not bear the hardships and the difficulties that were unleashed in Makkah Mukarramah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a mountain of sabr and patience. But it was for the sake of the ummah. And it was so that they may establish a society in Madina Sharif that will become a model for the world to follow till the day of Qiyamah. If they want peace, if they want happiness, if they want security, if they want the best of both worlds, then that will be the model that they will have to follow. And we see that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, within 8 years after going to Madina Tayyibah, then we have the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. So what I am getting across to you is this, that first part of it is that this calendar of ours is based on Hijrah. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, besides the Hijrah where the person leaves his town and city and country and all for the sake of deen and goes away and settles somewhere, there is also the Hijrah that will continue throughout his life, and that is that for the sake of deen the person travels out, or for the sake, or the person gives up his sins, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. That those things which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited, the muhajir is that person. That person is truly making the hijrat. who stays away from all those things or shuns all those things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah ta'ala has prohibited. Now if the person is going out for deen, but he is not giving up the sins, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the light of this hadith, he is not considered as a muhajir. Now this hijrat will continue throughout his life. It is sometimes easy to go on the battlefield and the person is shot and he leaves this world as a shaheed. But this shahadat which he has to go through all the time when the nafs is making very strong desire and taqaza for committing sins. Now at that time when this temptation is very strong, then to put that sword on the neck of these evil desires. Now that shahada he has to do all the time. Again that very beautiful shahad. Hey zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de, asl hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. Hey zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de, asl hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. Just the leaving of your city and town and going somewhere, that is not hijrat. Hijrat is also that you must give up sins. And also we are reminded on this occasion that hijrat also has to be for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in his time, one person had put a proposal for a woman in Madina Sharif. That woman from Madina Sharif, she made a request that I will accept your proposal, but on this condition that you make hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah and come to Madina Tayyibah. Now her name was Umm Qais. So this person made hijrat and went over to Madina Tayyibah. Now imagine he's making hijrat, went over to Madina Tayyibah. But the Sahabas used to call him Muhajir Umm Qais. That he made this hijrat for the sake of Umm Qais, not for the sake of deen. And that is the occasion when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he heard this, then he said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَىٰ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, just to give the gist of and the meaning of this hadith sharif, Allah ta'ala looks at the niyat with what this person has made the hijrat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks at the niyat, the intention, and he gives a person reward in accordance with that intention. Of course, the deed itself must first be right and correct, and then the intention too must be correct. It says, the person who makes hijrat for the sake of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that hijrat is for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if a person has made hijrat for the sake of dunya or for some woman, then the hijrat is for that dunya and for that woman that he has made. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not consider that as that hijrat on which he gives those great rewards. So one is that hijrah from which our calendar begins. Of course, there's so much that we can speak on that, so that was one aspect. The second part is, of course, the Yawm-e Ashura itself. The Yawm-e Ashura, there's so much of literature that has been distributed and so much you must have heard already. But I don't know what has been spoken and what you have read. So therefore, Hazrat Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we have to look at the hadiths of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, then we find that this fast of Ashura, before the fasting of Ramadan became farz and compulsory, the fast of Ashura was farz. But when the fasting of Ramadan became compulsory, then it became mustahab or sunnat. If a person keeps it, he will get reward. If he does not keep it, then he is not to be condemned or criticized that why did you not fast on the 10th of Muharram. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but because he has given so much of virtues of it, therefore fit, healthy people, just as we go on diet for health reasons, if we fast for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and to gain those rewards that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has promised, then inshallah the person is not going to die by the end of the day, especially in these days when there's so much of food in our stomach too. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that the sins of the year that has gone by, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive those sins. Again, it is the minor sins that the person commits. Daily we are committing thousands of sins, minor sins. We are not even aware sometimes what sin we have committed. This does not mean the major sins that the person looks forward to these big nights and big days, and he says, I will make plenty of tawbah in the big night and big day. So therefore all those who I'm owing money, it's all now waived off because I teared a lot in the big night or in Arafat or on the big days. It is those minor sins, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive that if the person keeps a fast. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is also reported to have said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepted the tawbah, the repentance of nation in the past on this Mubarak day. And there is great hope that if we have to make tawbah on this day, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will accept our tawbah too. Because the nation of the past, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepted the tawbah. Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to Madinah Tayyibah, the Jews were fasting. He asked them, why are you fasting? He said, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given deliverance on this day. There are many other incidents which have been mentioned by the Mu'arrikheen or the people of Tariq and history, but which are not authentic, that every incident took place on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, all the different incidents they have mentioned, all that under the 10th of Muharram. But those are not authentic. But the deliverance of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that was on the 10th of Muharram. So it is again something where we are reminded that we should spend our time constructively. That the 10th of Muharram, whilst we are fasting, if it is possible, then we should also try and make plenty of tawbah and istighfar, sincere repentance from our sins. Zakhm-e hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye hain. Zakhm-e hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye hain. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. We will have to take that gham, that pain on our heart of restraining ourselves from evil, from haram, from the forbidden things, whether it's rave or music, or whether it is the discos or cinemas or theatres, or that beautiful woman who is offering herself and seducing the person. Whether it is in the university or in the places that we work or wherever it may be, zakhm-e hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye hain. You will have to take that high, and that afsos on your heart, and that pain on your heart. Then you will get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when Allah ta'ala will come in the heart, He will come with all His sifats. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He will then put happiness into that heart. And the person, in spite of him restraining himself from all those places of haram, Allah Ta'ala will give him such happiness and such contentment and such joy and such satisfaction, which I have mentioned many times, the kings also don't know of. So on that day we make plenty of tawbah from all sins. Then again we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that oppose the Jews because they are fasting on this day, so therefore you must add one fast, 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. Now from there again, what lessons have been taken? That if in Ibadat we are told that we must not follow the Jews, then what about all our other activities of life? Our walimas, our engagements, our birthday parties these days. Look at the birthday parties that we celebrate of our children and of ourselves. Now who are we following there? Look at our engagements. In whose tariqah do we carry out our engagements? The tariqah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, or the same route we take as that of the Jews and the Christians and those who are the disbelievers and those who are the enemies of Islam? Take our businesses. Who do we follow in our business? The trends that we adopt and the practices that we adopt, whose trend and practices do we adopt? If the non-Muslim business, he invites the models from the agencies to display the wares, then we follow suit. Exactly, we will do the same thing. We will say our merchandise will not sell also until we use those naked women to advertise our products. We will stoop to any level to follow exactly the same pattern of the Jews and the Christians. And yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that oppose them. Don't even keep the fast only on the 10th because they are fasting. There's so much that we can take from this. So much of lessons we can take. As I mentioned the week or two ago, Valentine's Day, Diwali Day, this day, that day, whatever the others are practicing, then we will follow suit. So the Yawm-e-Ashura, this is what it is, to fast, to make tawbah, make istighfar. And one more thing that has been mentioned is that the person extends the sustenance for his family on that particular day, then Allah Ta'ala will give him barakat for the rest of the year. Now there again, that it does not mean that the person was now go take his credit card and buy on interest and go and provide for the family, because that will make it more haram. Because on the 10th of Muharram now he's providing haram for them. There is no need for that. It means just increase it a little bit. And if the person is told that if he increases for his family a little bit of the sustenance on the 10th of Muharram, Allah Ta'ala will provide for him abundantly or give him barakat throughout the year, then does it not mean that if this person has to give to the poor and the needy and those who are destitute and those who are in need, then how much of barakat Allah Ta'ala will give that person? That is the lesson that we take. But again, as I said, everything becomes commercialized. If you look at our newspapers, then they will commercialize any religious festival. Even Ashura Day has now become commercialized. I read on one board, special Ashura potatoes. Now even potatoes are special for Ashura. Anything, as long as we can make some money. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say that you must keep a reserved all your gifts and everything else for the 10th of Muharram and then just go and distribute on 10th of Muharram or give the family a little of the provisions on the 10th of Muharram. Throughout the year, it is a necessity of life. The person should take care of the needs. However, on this day, if he does that, inshallah, he will get extra barakat. Now these are the only three things that have been mentioned. All the other customary practices have got nothing to do with deen or with sharia. Of course, we can't go into any detail, just in a few, two or three minutes, as far as shahadat of Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is concerned. Indeed, it was a very, very tragic incident in the history of Islam. The grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to martyr him in that manner. Those people who did that, of course, they have prepared the fire of Jahannam for themselves forever and ever. But at the same time, the lesson that we take is this. Or when it comes to the 10th of Muharram, that the 10th of Muharram did not get its significance because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. The significance of Muharram is not because of that martyrdom, as people make us believe. It was a great feather in his cap, a great blessing, an added bonus, as we may say, that together with his great deed of shahadat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him the 10th of Muharram for that shahadat. But if you look at the history of Islam, it's filled with shaheeds. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, shaheed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the father-in-law of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, shaheed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shaheed. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, shaheed. Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he just gets married, he goes into the battle of Uhud. The first night, he was still in need of ghusl and he becomes shaheed. And the angels descend to give him the bath. When the sahabas look at his face, they find water trickling down. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed them the angels were giving him bath. Hazrat Amr ibn Jumu'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he prays that, oh Allah, give me shahadat. There's a long history to it, I've got no time to go into it. With Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, they go one side and make dua. So many sahabas became shaheed. So throughout history, this will carry on. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself expressed a great desire in his heart that I wish that I become martyred. Then I get life, I get martyred, I get life. So in this way, Shahadat is something that the Muslim Ummah always looked forward to. It's not that they just went and gave their neck, they put up a battle, and if they were Shaheed, they considered it as a great blessing from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So these are the three or four things that we normally discuss at length when it comes to the Yawm of Ashura, but there's no time for it. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of sincere tawbah, give us the tawfiq of fasting, and may He forgive our sins and the sins of the entire ummah, and may Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.